Audio Renaissance presents Saturn by Ben Bova.
There are some questions in astronomy to which we are attracted on account of their peculiarity, rather than from any direct advantage which their solution would afford to mankind. I am not aware that any practical use has been made of Saturn's rings, but when we contemplate the rings from a purely scientific point of view, they become the most remarkable bodies in the heavens. When we have actually seen that great arch swing over the equator of the planet without any visible connection, we cannot bring our minds to rest. James Clerk Maxwell. As the new century begins, we may be ready to settle down before we wreck the planet. It is time to sort out Earth and calculate what it will take to provide a satisfying and sustainable life for everyone into the indefinite future. For every person in the world to reach present U.S. levels of consumption would require the resources of 4 more planet Earths. Edward O. Wilson. Book 1. For the same reason I have resolved not to put anything around Saturn except what I have already observed and revealed, that is, 2 small stars which touch it, one to the east and one to the west, in which no alteration has ever yet been seen to take place, and in which none is to be expected in the future, barring some very strange event remote from every other motion known to or even imagined by us. But as to the supposition that Saturn is sometimes oblong and sometimes accompanied by 2 stars on its flanks, Your Excellency may rest assured that this results either from the imperfection of the telescope or the eye of the observer. I, who have observed it 1,000 times at different periods with an excellent instrument, can assure you that no change whatever is to be seen in it. And reason, based upon our experiences of all other stellar motions, renders us certain that none will ever be seen. For if these stars had any motions similar to those of other stars, they would long since have been separated from or conjoined with the body of Saturn. Even if that movement were 1,000 times slower than that of any other star which goes wandering through the heavens. Galileo Galilei. Letters on Sunspots. The 4th of May, 1612.
Cellini, Astro Corporation Headquarters. Poncho Lane frowned at her sister. His name isn't even Malcolm Eberly. He changed it. Susan smiled knowingly. Oh, what diff's that make? He was born Max Erlenmeyer in Omaha, Nebraska, Poncho said sternly. He was arrested in Linz, Austria for fraud in 84, tried to flee the country, and I don't care about that. It's ancient. He's changed. He's not the same man he was then.
You're not going.
Yes, I am, Susan insisted, the beginnings of a frown of her own creasing her brow. I'm going, and you can't stop me.
I'm your legal guardian, Susie.
Poosh! What's that got to do with spit? I'm almost 50 years old, for real. Susan Lane did not look much more than 20. She had died when she'd been a teenager, killed by a lethal injection that Poncho herself had shot into her emaciated arm. Once clinically dead, she had been frozen in liquid nitrogen to await the day when medical science could cure the carcinoma that was raging through her young body. Poncho had brought her cryonic sarcophagus to the moon when she began working as an astronaut for Astro Manufacturing Corporation. Eventually, Poncho became a member of Astro's board of directors, and finally, its chairman. Still, Susan waited, entombed in her bath of liquid nitrogen, waiting until Poncho was certain that she could be reborn to a new life. It took more than 20 years. And once Susan was revived and cured of the cancer that had been killing her, her mind was almost a total blank. Poncho had expected that. Cryonics reborns usually lost most of the neural connections in the cerebral cortex. Even Saito Yamagata, the powerful founder of Yamagata Corporation, had come out of his cryonic sleep with a mind as blank as a newborn baby's. So Poncho fed and bathed and toilet-trained her sister, an infant in a teenager's body, taught her to walk, to speak again. and brought the best neurophysiologist to Selene to treat her sister's brain with injections of memory enzymes and RNA. She even considered nanotherapy, but decided against it. Nanotechnology was allowed in Selene, but only under stringent controls, and the experts admitted that they didn't think that nanomachines could help Susan recover her lost memories. Those years were difficult, but gradually a young adult emerged, a woman who looked like the Susie that Pancho remembered, but whose personality, whose attitudes, whose mind were disturbingly different. Susan remembered nothing of her earlier life, but thanks to the neuro boosters she had received, her memory now was almost eidetic. If she saw or heard something once, she never forgot it. She could recall details with a precision that made Pancho's head swim. Now the sisters sat glaring at each other, Pancho on the plush burgundy pseudo-leather couch in the corner of her sumptuous office, Susan sitting tensely on the edge of the low sling chair on the other side of the curving lunar glass coffee table, her elbows on her knees. They looked enough alike to be immediately recognized as sisters. Both were tall and rangy, long, lean legs and arms, slim, athletic bodies. Pancho's skin was a little darker than a well-tanned Caucasian's, Susan's a shade richer. Pancho kept her hair trimmed down to a skullcap of tightly curled fuzz that was flecked with spots of fashionable gray. Susan had taken treatments to make her dark brown hair long and luxurious. She wore it in the latest pageboy fashion, spilling down to her shoulders. Her clothing was latest mod, too. A floor-length faux silk gown with weights in its hem to keep the skirt hanging right in the low lunar gravity. Pancho was in a no-nonsense business suit of powder gray, a tailored cardigan jacket and flared slacks over her comfortable lunar soft boots. She wore sensible accents of jewelry at her earlobes and wrists. Susan was unadorned, except for the decal across her forehead, a miniature of Saturn, the ringed planet. Susan broke the lengthening silence. "Ponch, you can't stop me. I'm going." "But all the way out to Saturn? With a flock of political exiles?" "They're not exiles. Come on, Suze. Half the governments back Earthside are cleaning out their detention camps." Susan's back stiffened. "Those fundamentalist regimes you're always complaining about are encouraging their non-believers and dissidents to sign on for the Saturn expedition. Encouraging, not deporting."
"They're getting rid of their troublemakers," Pancho said.
"Not troublemakers. Freethinkers, idealists. Men and women who are ticked with the way things are on Earth and willing to warp off, zip out, and start new lives. Misfits and malcontents," Pancho muttered. "Square pegs in round holes." "The habitat will be populated by the best and brightest people of Earth," Susan retorted.
"Yeah, you wish."
"I know, and I'm going to be one of them." "Cripes almighty, Suze. Saturn's 10 times farther from the sun than we are."
"What of it?"
Susan said, with that irritating smile again. "You were the first to go as far as the belt, weren't you?"
"Yeah, but you went out to the Jupiter station, didn't you?"
Pancho could do nothing but nod.
"So I'm going out to Saturn. I won't be alone. There'll be 10,000 of us, for real. That is, if Malcolm can weed out the real troublemakers and sign up good workers, I'm helping him do the interviews."
"Make sure that's all you're helping him with," Pancho groused. Susan's smile turned slightly wicked. "He's been a perfect gentleman, damn it."
"Blister my butt on a goddamn Harley," Pancho grumbled. And she thought, "Damn near 30 years I've been working my way up the corporation, but 10 minutes with Susie and she's got me talking West Texas again."
"It's a great thing, Ponch," said Susan, earnest now. "It's a mission, really. We're going out on a 5-year mission to study the Saturn system. Scientists, engineers, farmers, a whole self-sustaining community." Pancho saw that her sister was genuinely excited, like a kid on her way to a thrill park. "Damn," she said to herself. "Susie's got the body of an adult, but the mind of a teenager. They'll be